No four girls with money? I heard a rumor there's four girls with money. No, I don't want to sing. I want to give the money. Amen. No four girls with money, Ashley? Oh, you want to stand up and sing a song? Then give you money. Amen. All right, let's open our Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. The book of Genesis, chapter 50. Tonight, I want to bring you a message that one of them old reading and hollering messages, no outline hardly, just a couple of thoughts here that I want to bring to you. And this is a story of Joseph. In the Bible, the book of Genesis ends with a story of Joseph. Notice the Bible, the first book in the Bible begins with in the beginning and life, and it ends in a coffin in Egypt in chapter 50, in death. Thank God, Revelation ends with life and the tree of life. So God's book is a book of death. It's a book of life. Genesis chapter number 50 tonight. Joseph was telling his brothers that the worst thing that ever happened to him turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Now I want you to get this little truth tonight. Something happened to me there a second ago, Brother Mike. Went down when I moved. Maybe you can turn this one off and me up just a tad. Now make sure everybody can hear now. You ought to be quiet, kids. All right. Joseph was saying, the worst thing that ever happened to me turned out to be a blessing in disguise. I need a little reverb there. And then down on these monitors. Like always. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. What God said here, or Joseph said, was, God let me go through the most terrible time I've ever been through in my life to save much people alive. One of the unique things about God and living for God is that God's always working behind the scenes when you can't see Him. Let me encourage all of our young Christians here tonight. I want to preach to you on the subject, when I was down to nothing, God was up to something. Amen. Hallelujah. We can shout on that and go home right now. When I was down to nothing, God was up to something. I found that all the way through the Bible. I heard a preacher make that statement. Boy, it clicked in my soul. And I said, my Lord, what a truth. When I was down to nothing, God was up to something. I've noticed that when you're at your lowest point and you think God's left you, where you can't see in the shadows, God is working in your behalf. God is working for you. Got a little good news for you tonight, Brother Ray. Got a little good news for you, Mr. T, Brother Darren, Brother Joy, Jonathan. God is working for you right now. Don't you let the devil and the world tell you that God's forgot you. And listen, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. As lady said, heard a lady said not long ago, she said, boy, I just been in the valley. She said, I've been in two valleys in a row. And I thought, there ain't no such thing as two valleys in a row. Just a big valley. The way you go through a valley, you got to go up a hill, go on that mountaintop, then down in another valley. Ain't two valleys in a row. If you're in the valley, there ain't but one way to go, and that's up. And if you're down, there's only one way to go, and that's up. Some of you tonight are having financial problems. Guess what? God's up to something. You say, Brother Danny, I'm having marriage problems. Don't worry about it. You trust God and do right. He's up to something. I'll guarantee it. You say, Brother Danny, my life just seems like it's going nowhere. Don't worry about it. You trust God, do right, witness and pray and read your Bible. I promise you, God's up to something. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in the Bible. When I was down to nothing, God was up to something. Let me give you some Bible illustrations tonight. And I talked a lot about child abuse and stories going on. Tonight I'm going to give you a lot of Bible. Right now, the Word of God. You notice in the story, when a man preaches a truth, there ought to be some Bible illustrations to back up that truth. So the Bible does. The story of Adam and Eve. You think about that. Adam and Eve were born in a perfect environment. You ladies and men, young people in here tonight, you talk about having it made. Adam and Eve flat had it made. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living with someone that you're in love with and you have your complete heart and a garden full of nothing but beautiful flowers? You can eat anything you want, as much as you want. You don't have to work. You can do anything you want to do. Lay down and go to sleep. Get up. Play with animals. Jump in the river. I mean, just kick back and take life. They had it made. And then the Bible said that God told them. Down just a hair, brother. God told them. He said, don't eat of that fruit there in the middle of the garden. Well, Eve was down there one day, and she was just shopping. She wasn't wanting to buy nothing. She was just looking around. That's what got her in trouble. And Eve went down there that day, and the Bible said she was standing there, and then poof, all of a sudden there was this little handsome figure appeared there. He didn't look like a snake looks out there right now, more than likely. He was a winged, flying creature, real beautiful, and looked at her, and he said,
hello there.
And boy, she looked at him, and she said, who are you? I don't know you. And he said, well, I'm just an old friend. Thought I'd stop by and see you. And boy, his voice was just smooth. And she said, I don't believe I know you. He said, you don't look familiar to me. And the devil said, Eve, are you all right? Don't you feel like you're getting a little bored? Don't you need to find something exciting to make your life a little more fulfilled? And she said, oh no, I'm just as happy as I can be. He said, well, how about Adam? You and him getting along all right? God, why? He just thinks I'm the only woman in this world. And boy, they had a little conversation going back and forth there. And the devil said, sister, have you ever tried one of these little purple ones right here? They are good. Watch. He floated down like a little dog. Used to. And boy, the devil went down like that. He said, come on, sister, just try one. Well, you know the story. He went out there and he put that thing out there. And the Bible said the woman saw that it was good for food. That's where the devil will appeal to you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Eve took of that fruit, brother. And brother, sin entered into her bloodstream. Now, they say, I don't know this to be a fact, but it makes good sense, that their blood was clear before then. Just clear, like water running through. I don't know that for a fact, but when she partook of that fruit, it was probably a grape. It was not an apple. And that fruit of that vine, that's why the Bible talks about it. That's why it's cursed. That's why wine is such a problem in the Bible. That's why it's strong drink and alcohol and all that. There's a reason for that. That's why her cheeks got red. That's why her lips turned blush and all that kind of stuff. And what girls have been wanting to get ever since Eve lost it there in the Garden of Eden is that perfect skin and that beautiful face and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, Eve took of that fruit there, and when she did, her blood turned red and burning. It got sinful and started going through her veins. She gave to her husband, and Adam's eyes were open. Adam deliberately sinned because he loved his wife. Eve was tricked by the devil, and Adam deliberately done it against God. They were both guilty. And brother, the Bible said by one man, sin entered into the world. Well, when God found out about it, the Bible said that God come walking down there in the garden in the cool of the day. Listen to me. And the Bible said, this is an old story, but you ain't heard it too much. I'm telling you, it's just as fresh tonight as it was the first time I ever heard it. Amen. And brother, God come down there and he said, Adam, what? And brother, God said, Adam and Eve were hiding.
They were hiding behind the fig tree, and they got them something and put it on. And they said, "Lord, we're all right." And God said, "Why are you, Adam?" And Adam and Eve said, "We're right over here, God." And God said, "What's wrong with you? Why you got that thing on?" And Adam said, "That's my fig leaf, man. Fig leaf." And Adam said, "Because," he said, "Who told you was naked?" And Adam said, "My wife." And he said, "What's the matter with you, woman?" And Eve said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And brother, you know what God did? God said, "I'm going to have to judge you." And God took coats of skin, and He made them skin and clothed them. That's why we have to wear clothes today, because of sin and shame. You see, all the animals are born with clothes on. Dogs have fur, and fish have scales, and cows have hair on, but we're born naked. And the reason we do that is because we've got to be clothed. We're different from animals. We're different from them. God made us a little lower than the angels, but He made us higher than the animals. Now, I'm going to tell you kids tonight, I know that school's starting, but there's a difference between you and an animal. And when they teach you that evolution in school, you just put down on there whatever they want to put, but you try to lie out of hell. You are higher than an animal. God made you in His image. And so tonight they sin. And God looked down and He told Adam and Eve, He said, "I'm going to drive you out of your house." And they said, "No, God. No, this is our beautiful home." And they said, "No, no." Can you imagine, as the music played in the background, Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden, out there to die in the wilderness, out there to live by the sweat of their face and bring forth children in sorrow and pain. And all the sorrow they could ever imagine was piled on them. And boy, they're down there like this, walking down through there, and the gates closed behind them, and turn this thing down just a hair, brother. And he put a sword up there with an angel standing there so that they could not get in and partake of the tree of life in their sinful condition and live forever. That's what God did. God said, "I don't want you in here no more." They were crying. No doubt they were heartbroken. They had lost everything they had. They had lost everything they had. You hear me tonight? Have you been there? I have. Have you been down that road? Adam and Eve lost it all, brother. But what they didn't realize was they was down to nothing. That God already in His mind was up to something. He had a plan in the back of His mind that one day that the seed of that woman would bruise that serpent's heel and die on Calvary and open up paradise so me and you could go back in it one of these days. When they was down to nothing, God was up to something. He had a plan. He said, "Thou, you'll bruise His heel, but He'll stomp your head, buddy." And God done. Listen, at the same time they was losing everything, God had a plan to get them back in. I'm saying to you tonight, brother, when I was down, and I've been down, don't you doubt it one bit. I've been down. I'm a pretty positive person. I'm very seldom sad. I'm very seldom in a bad mood. Most people know me. No, I'm just like this all the time. I fake it sometimes to make you think I'm mad, because that's the only way I can get you to behave. But I'm telling you, I'm always happy, just about all. But I've been down. I've been down. I mean down. I've been down so far I had to look up and see the bottom. But right when I was down, and I thought that I had no way, God right then was up to something. Amen. He made a plan to get Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. And when we get to heaven one of these days and we see that city of God and everything's perfect and we see the tree of life, we'll see Adam and Eve right back there in their original state, right like they was to start with, having a good time and fellowshipping with the Lord in the cool of the day. I'm telling you, it took 6,000 years, but God will get them right back where He had them to start with. When I was down to nothing, God's up to something. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've never been so far down in my life." Don't worry about it right now. If you're living right. Listen, kids. Right now, He's up to something. I seen that story of Joseph that I read to you about a while ago there in the book of Genesis. Joseph's brothers sold him in the pit. That was the absolute worst day of his life. His brothers sold him down there. Lord have mercy. Woo! It was awful. And old Joseph went down there and he's in that pit. He thought, "God, you forgot me. Wait a minute, God. Wait, this ain't supposed to happen. I thought you was my father. I thought you was going to supply my needs. I thought somebody needs this here tonight. You better listen. You better listen. You might not need it tonight. You might need it before the week's out." Wait a minute, God. Why is this happening? I'm working in the bus ministry. I'm trying to do the best I can. And I lost my job. I lost everything. God, what's wrong? But what Joseph did not know, that while he was in that pit, God already, in his mind, had that team of Midianites coming down the road just at the right time. They didn't come the day before. They didn't come the day after. Just happened to be coming along that day. And they stopped by and said, hey, what you boys got? They said, we got something in this pit we'll sell you real cheap. They said, what is it? They said, it's a good, nice, young, good-looking Hebrew slave. 20 pieces of silver, he's yours. They said, get him out. They got him out of there, brother. And Joseph went there and he said, boys, you can't do this to me. No, no, no. Tell Daddy I love him. And off he went. And they took him off. They towed him over, took him over yonder in Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh, he got to going pretty good over there. Guess what happened? He got over there and he got to working for Pharaoh. He's dusting around over there. And this old hussy come after him. Hey, old Jezebel. And she got her eyes on Joseph. She was wicked. Oh, boy, she is wicked. She was wicked, wicked. She was wicked as Britney Spears. And boy, I'm telling you what. She got to looking at him. And she come up. She said, Joseph, lie with me. And she didn't mean let's go tell a lie together. She said, and boy, I tell you what. She said, lie with me. And he said, get away from me. And she said, oh, come on, Joe. And put her arm around him like that. And he said, uh-uh. So he crawled under the couch. And he had his vacuum cleaner under here, vacuuming the floor, and all that. And get away from me. And she goes, no, the Lord rebuked me. And all that. And finally, she said, I don't like this. And she grabbed him like this. And he said, get away from me, woman. And then she grabbed his coat and took off. And he took off running, like the Bible said, to flee youthful lust. Amen. To run from it. You don't hang around temptation. You run from it. You stay away from it. You don't flirt with it. You run away from it. And boy, she hollered rape, and they put Joseph in prison, and he's trying to do right. Isn't it funny how that when you're trying your best to do right, the devil, he didn't do nothing wrong as far as we know. The Bible don't say it, but as far as we know, Joseph did nothing and got thrown in prison because he's accused of rape. How do you think he felt? Amen. Thank God there's one listening. Amen. 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 He felt bad, bless God. He felt all bad. Amen. He's down there saying, God, Lord God, I'm in prison. Buddy, and listen, when you got in prison back then, it was bread and water and rats, son. It wasn't pool tables and HBO and stuff like that. Of course, from the prison I've been to now, I believe I'd rather been in it then than in it now. What I hear about prisons now, you don't want to go, boys. You don't want to go. And buddy, I'll tell you what, he was down there. He was down there in prison. He was down there and he said, oh God, God! God, what's happening? God, I don't know where my daddy is. God, I don't know where my brothers are. God, I'm going to rot down here in this prison. God, but what Joseph did not realize, that when he was down in that pit, the absolute bottom, that God was up to something. God already had a plan there. He was going to send 7 years of famine. He brought Joseph up out of the pit because he could interpret the dreams. God knew it all. God had it all. Let me tell you, hey, I'm not going to preach long tonight. You get this through your head right now. God knows what you're going through. He knows how much your light bill is. He knows your health. He knows your mental strength. He knows how many miles your car has got left on it. God knows your situation tonight. I'm going to tell you, thank God Almighty, he's up to something. I'm telling you, he's going to bless you if you'll just trust him and live. Where you mess up is when you start getting mad and bitter at God. Getting impatient. Joseph went down there and said, well, this ain't right, God. This ain't fair. The Lord probably let him stay down there and rot a while. Son, his attitude, you know why Paul and Silas got out of jail? Amen? I like preaching to people that listen to me. Amen? They're right with me. Amen? Right with me. Amen? And you know why Paul and Silas got out of jail? They didn't get down there and say, good night. I thought I was going to get put on salary. Here I am down here rotting in this stupid jail. Rats eating my toenails. and are biting on me, and we can't, and our hands are tied. But buddy, I'll tell you what, about that time, they didn't do that. They said, let's sing. And God was up to something.
Yeah.
I mean, he began to shake that jail cell. God gets you out. Listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. God will get you out of any trying to mess you get into. God will get you out of trouble. God will get you out of financial bondage. I don't mean to sound like a TV preacher tonight, but we ought to preach it once in a while. God can help you financially. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All he did, the Bible did say in 3 John, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Amen. I know the charismatics have took that verse and run it in the ground, but it is Bible and it is still in there. And God does care about your financial situation. And God can make a way for you to get a job. And listen, now listen, if you sit around lazy and won't work, then God will let you starve. But if you'll get out and do your best, God will take care of you. Don't be like that fellow said one time. They said, boy, it's going to get cold tonight. You'll freeze to death. And he said, if the Lord will provide. They said, I'm telling you, it's going to freeze to death. And there's a big old pile of wood right over there. He said, don't worry about it. The Lord will provide. He froze to death. God did provide. Big pile of wood right across the road. You got to go get it and set it on fire and make it on it. You know what I mean? You got to do what you can do, and then God will do what you can't do. You do your best, God will do the rest. Amen? Amen. I mean, that ain't necessarily in the Bible, but it's biblical. You do your best, God will do the rest. I've done it many a time. I found out when I do my best, God will do the rest. When I was down to nothing, God was up to something. And so God got Joseph out of the pit, and God brought him out of there and exalted him. He became Pharaoh's right-handed man, and he became over all the land. He became second to the king, and the king let him have full power over everybody. I read that story about Jonah. You know, Jonah sure got himself in a fix, didn't he? Did he ever get in a fix or what? Briefly saying, God said, Jonah, I need you to preach a revival. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! I'm your man. Glory to God. I'll go in there and I'll preach hell, fire, and damnation. You just send me, God. Amen. Where's it at? First Baptist of Jerusalem. And the Lord said, Nineveh. He said, ugh. I don't feel led to do that. You get somebody else. God said, I don't want nobody else. I want you. Jonah said, see ya. Went down here and bought him a ticket. Went down to Tarshish. Got down in the ship. Went down in the sides of the ship. Went down in there. Went down with sleep. Bible said he went down, 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 down. When you leave God's will, there ain't but one way to go. Down. When you're out of God's will, there ain't one way for you to go, friend. Down. And I know people tonight that's saved as me and you tonight, and their life keeps going down, 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 because they will not get right. You know what you ought to do tonight? Hey, some of you teenagers here tonight, you know why your love life's all messed up, and you can't be happy, and you're frustrated, and nothing ever works out for you? You won't get right with God. You get right with God, you'll go up, 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 up. You live God's presence, you go down, 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 down. And that's what Jonah did. He paid the fare and went down. But see, Jonah got like this. A big old storm come up and that boat started going like this. And that, hold on. Keep falling out. They said, somebody has got God's wrath on us. God's going to kill us. Whose fault is it? Heathen people. Somebody said, who's that fellow laying there? And they went over and kicked him and said, hey man, get up and call on your God. Jonah woke up like that and they said, what are you doing on here anyway? What's your occupation? He said, I'm a preacher. What do you mean you're a preacher? What are you doing on a sailboat? I'm on a cruise, man. I want to go to Bahamas. I don't know where I said. He said, I'm on vacation. You know what he was? He is a preacher running from God. And ain't nothing in the world more sickening than a preacher that won't do what God wants him to do.
Come on,
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. God, help. Listen, I don't want to be a preacher that ain't doing what God wants me to do. As far as I know tonight, I'm trying my dead level best to do what God wants me to do. Jonah said, I ain't going to do it. And they said, well, listen, friend, this boat going down, it's your fault. And so they picked him up. One of them got one hand, one foot, done got the other hand, and the other foot. They said, here he goes.
One, two, and he'd go out over that water. Oh boy, here he go again. Number two, and he said, three. It's that water going down like this. He went under, and the Bible said there was a big old fish come. There was a big old whale. Lord, that thing longs this whole set of pews here. And God spoke to that fish. Bible said it. Bible said God prepared that fish. And that fish got a hunger pain. And went, I'm hungry. I'd like to have a mess of man. I ain't had a good old mess of man in a long time. Give me some French fries and rust puppies and tartar sauce. And the Lord said, turn right. He went right. And the Lord said, two notches to the left, to the up 4 degrees. And there he saw two legs dangling like this right here. Jonah's a dog paddling. There goes the ship. Jonah said, God. No, he wasn't saying God yet. He was saying, oh, Lord. Oh, help me. Oh, I'm in bad shape. I'm going down. Everything got black. He thought he was at Carowinds. He went around and around a time or two. And he felt something warm and slick. And he started sliding down it like a water slide, blubber about that thick. Just like soft fat, greasy, and the smell. Can you imagine? You smelt your own breath lately? And look what you eat. Can you imagine what it smelled like in a whale's stomach? He didn't even know where he's at. Boy, I had no idea where he was, man. Sliding down, little pool goes up like this, seaweed wrapped around his neck, and he's, Lord, can you imagine? Have you ever spit up? You know how it tastes when you spit up? What I can't figure out is how come it tastes so good. So I don't care if it's cheesecake. It tastes so good going down. You spit it up. You must be rotten. Look what you've done to it. Have you ever just spit up? It tastes like battery acid, man. Lord, help. You think, how in the world could anything that good taste that bad when you spit it up? You know why? It got in you, you old sinner. That's what a sinner do with a good cheesecake. Make it taste like puke. That's right, brother. Amen. That's right. And boy, he come up, and the whale said, and burped a little bit, and Jonah was around there. Can you imagine the gastric intestinal juices that were in that whale? Lord, it was pitiful. And brother, that was the worst day of his life. He didn't even know where he's at. I don't believe Jonah knows where he's at. He cried out of the belly of hell, brother. I probably choked to death there. And boy, all of a sudden, Jonah said, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Now, he did not realize it. While he was in the belly of the whale, while he was there, God was up to something. God already had a plan for him to preach that revival in Nineveh. God was going to bless him just like he had come. Boy, that's a blessing to me tonight. Thank God that's in the Bible. God wasn't through with Jonah. God didn't. Listen, he said, Jonah, you're down there in the belly of the whale right now. All your friends have gave up on you. Everybody said we'll never hear from him again. But I want to tell you something tonight. God was up to something. And God still had the same call and purpose on Jonah's life as he did before he ever went in there. I want to tell you, that's why the Bible said, oh, you preachers, listen to me. That Bible said the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And if God's ever called you to preach tonight, you're still called, and you'll be called to the day you'll die. You'll either preach or be miserable. It's up to you. Hey, man. God put a call on my life when I was 19 years old. I had people against me then. I've had people against me ever since. I've had preachers try to get up a petition to stop me from starting the first church in Marion. And when we started this one, they said a bunch of preachers were going to go get together and come and jump on me. Never did show up, but they said they were. But I'm going to tell you one thing tonight. If God Almighty has put a call on a man's life, there ain't enough preachers or demons to stop that call, because God put it on there. Amen. Jonah thought he was washed up, but God was up to something. He thought it was over. Guarantee you, Jonah never saw himself preaching a great revival. I bet he thought, oh buddy, this is what I get for running out of God's will. I'll just die down here in the whale's belly or wherever I'm at. Gates of hell around me. He said, out of the belly of hell I cried. Ain't that what he said? That's right. And son of Jonah got up there and he said, Lord,
Oh God. And finally old Jonah come to his senses and he said, Lord, now here's what you got to do tonight. You're down to nothing tonight. Here's all you got to do. He said, I realized that salvation is of the Lord. He realized that there's nothing he can do. You hear me tonight? There's nothing you can do to earn God's blessings or power. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. God just wants you to believe Him and trust Him. You ain't good enough to get God's blessings. There's a lot of people mad at me right now because God's blessing me and not them. They're mad at the devil. And it ain't my fault. The reason God won't bless them is because they just won't trust Him. It ain't because you're good. Somebody said, well, he's bad and God blessed him and I'm good. Why come you won't bless me? The truth, because you're not good. No, there's none good. No, not one. God blessed Jonah not because he's good, but because his heart got right towards him. Jonah's heart got right, people. And the way out of your trouble tonight, the way out of your wilderness tonight, the way out of your financial mess tonight, the way out of your problems tonight is get your heart right. God will start working when you're down to nothing. And all of a sudden the whale went. You get a little nauseated. Some when a whale gets nauseated, it's some sickening dinner. There ain't nothing more sickening than a backslid preacher. Sorry about that, brother. Ain't nothing more sickening than a backslid preacher. Who could stomach a whale? Son, they could swallow one of them big turtles and digest it. Lord help. He said, that preacher is killing me. Gagged. I feel like I'm going to die. And God said, swim over this way before you puke. He went over this way. Don't puke out here when it's 100 foot deep. The old boy will never make it. And God directed him in there toward the land. And he started going right toward the beach. Like him you seen on TV the other day. All them whales got up on the beach. And right before he went to the beach, he went, wah! And Jonah come out like that and rolled three or four times on the beach. And brother, I'm telling you, he had seaweed whale puke. I mean, it's like moose in his hair where he's just matted. Except it kind of looked like pancake mix hardened in there with orange things in it, orange chunks. And I had it mixed in his hair coming down off his face. I'm telling you, you could smell him when he walked in that door back there, knocked you down. And the Bible said, did you hear me tonight? I said the Bible said that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Amen. Came unto the Lord, him the second time. God didn't get another man. God didn't call another man to preach that revival. He said, Jonah, I want you to preach that revival. And you had to go through the belly of the whale. You was down to nothing. But I was up to something and brought him through. Jonah come into town like a wild maniac. Made a 3-day journey in one day. What's that? And it was a great city of 3 days journey. Jonah come in about a day's journey. God put him into overdrive, Wesley Grant said, and brought him into town, his feet like a weed eater, going across that desert. He come in like a road runner, and he come into town, seaweed wrapped around his neck. He had on a seaweed tie. I mean, boy, he had a little scroll there, and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And God saved 120,000 people that didn't know the right hand from the left. Billy Graham never had one like that. Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody never had one where 120,000 got saved. The day of Pentecost, there wasn't that many people saved. Hey, man, I'm talking about a man that was down to nothing. Nothing. You know what people's problem is nowadays? They think that if you've ever had any problems in your past, that you're marked for life and God can never do nothing with you and it can never be good. Listen, brother, that ain't biblically true. Jonah was down to nothing, yet God was up to something. It's of God. It ain't of us. It ain't of man. This thing's of God. And if everybody here tonight would say, Brother Danny, I'm down, but thank God he's up to something in my life. He's working for you. You might have a big old blessing coming real, real soon. Wouldn't that be something? I had some other stories I was going to tell you. Job lost his houses and kids and lands and everything. The Bible said in Job 42:10 that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more twice as much as what he had to start with. He's down to nothing.
His kids is dead. His stocks and bonds are gone. Half barns and stuff burned up. And his wife gave him a fit and told him to cuss God and die. He's down to nothing. God was up to something. I had no idea 2 years ago what I was going to do when I was down to nothing. I won't go into detail tonight, but I was down to nothing. I lost a lot overnight. Everything I had overnight. And I laid for days and days on my face crying and praying and reading the Bible. I'm talking literally days. I'd go out of the room at 2 o'clock and get me a little bite to eat. And that'd be all I'd eat for the next day. Get me a pack of crackers or something. Then I'd go in there and lay and cry and pray and lay and cry and pray and lay and cry and pray all night and all day. Nobody knows. Just me and the Lord. And I said, God, I got nothing. While I was down, God was up to something. One day I come home, got a letter in the mail. It was from Tim Kozar. Truth. I'd seen Tim and Tammy, but I didn't act really know him. I don't know if I'd ever had much conversation with him. He said, my name is Tim Kozar. We're from Lenore. And basically said, we're just starving. We're just looking for a church. We're just begging. Let me tell you something. God was up to something. You think it's just accident? You think somebody said, well, Danny Castle, he just got all this charisma and all this. And I get so mad and sick and tired of him. Listen, man, God's the one who put this thing together. I couldn't do this. I heard that, but I'm sick of it. They said, well, he's, and I am all that. But God had to do it. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. Listen, brother, a man can't do that. A man can't call somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. It takes a holy God to put something together like Shining Light Baptist Church. There ain't been nothing happen like this in Morganton in 50 years. Hey, let me tell you something. When I was on the couch and I had my face in the floor and I was bawling, saying, God, down to nothing. God in heaven was up to something. Thank God in heaven. He done it to save much people alive. He was up to something. He was working in about eight or nine places that I didn't even know about. God was up to something. Just like when Joseph was in that pit, God was up to something. When Job was in the funeral home, God was up to something. When Jonah's in the whale, God was up to something. We've had a pretty tough week. Had a pretty tough summer. The devil's done everything he can. Son, I've never seen, I don't believe, maybe once or twice, the devil fight any harder to get in a church like he's fought to get in this thing this summer. You know what that makes me do? Because God is up to something. And I believe if I was you, I'd hang around and see what it is. You're liable to miss a big blessing. Because when we're down to nothing, he's up to something. Let's stand by our head for prayer.